I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 23. We're probably all familiar with the phrase, "Do as I say, not as I do." It's not a particularly good phrase for us to use, especially as we try to say that to others. And as I thought about that phrase in relationship to our message this morning, I wondered where that phrase had originated from. And the earliest known expression of that phrase, "do as I say, not as I do," appears in a book in 1689. So it's probably not one on your shelf, although you can go read it on Google Books. I would remind you that in 1689, the English language had different lettering, and so if you're not familiar with that, good luck, because you're going to need it. But the full quote from this author, whose name is John Selden, who wrote a book in 1689 called Table Talk, where he basically just talked about a lot of different subjects that were on his mind. The quote reads this: "Preachers say," which concerned me when it's found out that it originated with that idea, "preachers say, do as I say, not as I do. But if a physician had the same disease upon him that I have, and he should bid me do one thing, and he do quite another, could I believe him?" It's kind of a sobering thought. Unfortunately, in this period of time, he is writing, at least some preachers he knows, is saying, "do as I say, not as I do." But he makes a good point. If a doctor said the same thing and he had the same disease we had and he does something different than we did, we should wonder whether or not we should believe him, because surely he would do that thing which best cured his disease. This idea of "do as I say and not as I do" is something we have to say to another when we are being a hypocrite. When our words are of one thing, of one instruction, and our actions tell a different story. Over the next 2 weeks, as we look at Matthew chapter 23, we're going to see this idea of hypocrisy. In next week's message, Lord willing, beginning in verse 13, we'll look at these seven woes that Jesus gives to the scribes and Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. But we would be remiss if we went through this passage only thinking about the hypocrisy of others and not ensuring that we were concerning ourselves with our own hypocrisy or potential hypocrisy. If we're not examining our life as we look at Scripture and ensuring that we match up with what God has said, we're obviously doing a disservice to the passage. And so I want us to think about that, the characteristics of the hypocrite. As we look, beginning in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1, and we'll go through verse 12 this morning, I invite you, if you're able, to stand with me out of reverence to God's Word as we read together, beginning in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. The Bible says this: "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but do not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their flax trees broad and their fringes long. They love the place of honor at feasts and best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for You have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You may be seated. A couple of things to point out that may aid you as we go through this message, what a couple of these things are. Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the scribes sitting in Moses' seat. The idea here that Moses was the lawgiver and they are the ones appointed within the culture to talk about the laws and teach the law. There's some thought that maybe at this time in the synagogues there was a seat that was in front of everyone that the religious leaders would sit on. Maybe that was Moses' seat, but most likely just this idea here of the authority that they have in teaching. And then this word that may not be familiar to you, it was not to me, of phylacteries here, is a small leather box that would be worn, and it would be worn either on the left arm or maybe on the head, and it would be inscribed with certain scriptural passages. Jesus says here the religious leaders made sure that theirs were broad and that the fringes, the tassels of their robe, as I read earlier from the book of Numbers, were long so that they could be seen. Jesus is going to spend this chapter pointing out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of his day, the problem that they had with the position they had been given. They were in a position to point the people toward God and God's law and obeying God's law and understanding God's law, and yet, while they would talk about that and they loved to receive the recognition that came from it, he'll talk to them later about their misunderstanding of the law. He'll talk to them in this chapter about being whitewashed tombs that outwardly appear beautiful but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. This was the hypocrisy of those religious leaders of Jesus' day. The unfortunate thing is that it continues to be the hypocrisy of religious people in our own day. Both leaders and followers alike are prone to hypocrisy. We are all prone to hypocrisy. If we think we are not, if we think we are completely consistent, then we're prone to pride, which itself is a hypocrisy for those who follow after Jesus. We need to be mindful of this passage. What does Jesus tell them? He comes to the crowds and his disciples, and he begins to teach. The conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders has been ratcheting up. That's what we've seen the last several chapters of Matthew's gospel, consistent conflict. They have been questioning him, as we've seen over these last few weeks. And we're told in verse 46 of chapter 22, and no one was able to answer him a word about the last thing that he taught, the last question that he asked about David's Lord. We're told that from that day forward, no one else dared to ask him any more questions. But that doesn't stop Jesus from confronting them with the hypocrisy of their religious nature. He puts it very bluntly that they preach but do not practice. Their words may be fine. In fact, Jesus seems to be approving their words in verse 2 and verse 3. They sit in Moses' seat. They're following the tradition of Moses in teaching the people. But he says very plainly that they should not be followed when it comes to their works because they like to preach but they do not practice. They like to tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and place them on the shoulders of others. but then they don't help carry the load. They only do the things that they do so that others would see them. This is something that Jesus has warned about back in the Sermon on the Mount that we saw in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. People would pray, and they would pray to be seen by others, and they would fast, and they would fast so that they would be seen by others. They would give, but they would want to give in such a way that they would be seen by others. That was their goal. That's what they sought to achieve with their works, was to receive praise and admonition from other people. He said that they loved that place of honor. When they would come to a feast, they would come to a party, they want to be there, but they want to be seen by everyone else. When they would come into the synagogue, they would come into the place of worship, what would they do? They would want to be seen by everyone else. When they would walk through the marketplace, what did they do as they're walking through the marketplace? They wanted to be called rabbi. In other words, they wanted someone to recognize them for who they were. They wanted somebody to call them teacher or master. Jesus warns that for His disciples it should not be so. We should not be those who seek after the praise of others. So, what are these characteristics then we see of the hypocrite, and we must be mindful of watching for them in ourselves? There's three that stand out as we look through this passage. The first is the hypocrite loves to preach but will not practice his message. The hypocrite loves to preach but will not practice his message. This is exactly what Jesus says. They're not doing a bad thing in what they're preaching. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you. So Jesus says of these religious leaders, they are telling you the right things. They're telling you the things that have come from God. They are trying to, at least as accurately as possible, present those things. So when they would talk about the laws of the Old Testament, the laws are there. You could go back and check. They're not making them up. Now, this would become a problem. It was a problem in Jesus' day, and it would continue to be a problem with some of the Jewish religious leaders, is they began to have traditions on top of the Scriptures, and for them, those traditions became law. It's unfortunately very similar to what the Catholic Church has done in the way that they teach their doctrine. It's not only Scripture, but it's traditions. It's the authority of a pope. It is the teachings of church history, and those things have become a law unto themselves. They have become an authority unto themselves, and in many ways have become on par with Scripture. But he doesn't talk about those traditions. He talks about the seat of Moses, the law that God has given. And so it is good that they would teach those things, they would preach and proclaim those things. But they had a problem. They would tell you, hey, do this. They would tell you, you should do that. But they wouldn't do it themselves. They had a standard for you, but not for themselves. This is at the core of hypocrisy. And it's something that we have to guard against in our own life on a consistent basis. That we know what God has said. That we will say what God has said. That we will expect for others to do what God has said. But we genuinely have no interest in doing it ourselves. Jesus says of these scribes and Pharisees, you can listen to and look at what they say, but do not follow, do not the works they do. So observe whatever they tell you, but do not observe the works that they do. Why? Because you're going to find very quickly a difference between the two. And friends, this is still a problem for us in the Christian life today. Remember who he calls together in verse 1. Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples. He doesn't pull these religious leaders over by themselves and give them this criticism on their own. He uses this as an example for his crowd that's following after him, and within that crowd, his disciples. And we've got to remember where we are in the Gospels. Matthew is 28 chapters long. We're near the end. And so we're getting close to the cross. We're getting close to the empty tomb. We're getting close to that day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 1 and 2 when the church is started. So this is teaching for the church because those disciples are about to be the leaders in the church. They're about to be the religious leaders in this new thing that God is doing, this new covenant that we celebrated as we come to the Lord's table this morning. And so there's a danger when you are in the church, there's a danger of becoming what these Pharisees and these scribes became. Because there's no doubt that there are times, there are some of them that had good intentions, that wanted the best for the people that they are teaching and leading, but they had become hypocrites because they would proclaim with their mouth, but their lives would not add up. Their lives would not reflect what they were teaching. Friends, all of us need to be mindful of this truth. That we become hypocrites when we love to preach, when we love to proclaim what God has done, when we love to tell people what God has said, but we will not practice the message that we are proclaiming. It is much more difficult to do the work than it is to proclaim the work. It's very easy, especially in a crowd of religious Christian people, to say, this is what God has said. It is exceptionally easy. It is much more difficult to do it. It's much more difficult to take passages like we have just seen in the last chapter, where we are told the great commandment is that we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. It is easy to read that. It is just one sentence. In my Bible, it's in very large print that I can read. It's much more difficult to do that work. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Seven words. And yet, life-transforming words. Friends, we become hypocrites when we preach and refuse to practice. And we need to make sure that we're mindful of this, because it would be much better for us not to preach those things, not to teach those things, not to say those things, not to affirm those things, when we then can't live them out. Will we do so perfectly? No. But there are many people who do not put any effort in their life into obeying what God has said, but they are more than willing to tell someone else to do that in their place. It's the first characteristic of a hypocrite. The second, the hypocrite lays a heavy burden on others, but will not help carry the burden. The hypocrite lays a heavy burden on others, but will not help carry the burden. There are a lot of things that we can say that I believe God has made very clear in Scripture of things we should do and things we should not do. And the hypocrite will stand before others and tell them, these are all the things you must do, and these are all the things you must refrain from doing, but they will not help that person carry the burden. Jesus says that of them. Verse 4, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. This is hypocrisy. I saw a false example of this online recently. It's often argued by those people out in the world who are, again, against Christians, that when Christians talk about issues of life, there's all kinds of life issues, but issues of life, and Christians will talk about being pro-life from the womb to the tomb, if you will. And that comes with it certain political agendas and that sort of thing. And there will be people who will say Christians are hypocrites because they only care about someone until they're born. And the post, the response, the social media thing was like, yeah, that's why Christians have started pregnancy resource centers and adoption programs and hospitals and soup kitchens, and the list goes on and on of things that Christians and churches have started to help people in their life. But it would be hypocrisy if that weren't true. If I stood before you and said we should be against abortion and euthanasia, and we should help kids who don't have homes with foster care and adoption and all that, and then we didn't actually do any of those things. Like, our church is part of organizations that have taken care of orphan children and done foster care and adoption and support pregnancy resource centers and given money to start hospitals. Because if we didn't, that would be hypocrisy. It is a heavy burden to lay that on people's shoulders. It would be a heavy burden to tell the orphan, you know, good luck, best wishes. We're so glad you're alive. And then not do anything about it. Or what about the preachers that stand up and rail against this thing or that thing that's so wrong, many times things they've just made up themselves, but they offer no effort to help the person who has had the burden placed on them. We need to remember our Savior talks about His burden. We read this during the Lord's Supper, that His burden is light, His yoke is easy. The grace and mercy that we have in Christ is an easy burden. But what the hypocrite does, and this is often done through some type of legalism where they tell you that God is ultimately concerned about, oh, I don't know, whether or not a woman were to wear pants to church. Scandal. Because I've not found that in the Bible yet. Maybe you have. I'd be glad to see it after church so we could see what version you've fallen upon that's bad. Do you think that the Lord cares more about that, whether or not you wear a suit to church? I've worn a jacket like 2 or 3 weeks out of the last 4. It's I don't know. It fits good and I like it. It's not necessary. It's not. What the Lord cares about is the heart condition, how you walk in the room, the heart condition as you walk out of the room, not the clothes that you put on, not how your hair looks or if your beard is trimmed. That's not what the Lord is concerned about. He's not concerned about the beat of the music or the instruments that are utilized. The Lord's concerned about, are we praising Him? Are we worshiping Him in spirit and in truth? That's what the Bible says, that His followers will worship Him in spirit and in truth, not with an organ or a guitar or whatever it is. And it's the hypocrite that'll take that burden that they, again, often have made up, and they'll place upon people as a heavy burden. And then once it's there, they offer no help in carrying that burden. The scribes and Pharisees would do exactly that. They knew the law well. They knew all the laws. So they would place them on the people. This is what you've got to do. But as we've seen, as we went through this book, many times they would twist those things so that they did not have to follow it a certain way, or they would just flat out not follow it, but they would expect it of other people. And they would have consequences for the other people who did not listen to them, but they would not take on the consequences themselves. This is what a hypocrite does. The burden is on everyone else. And friends, sometimes that burden is real. There are sins that people fall into, and the burden of that sin is real on their life. But the hypocrite will point to their sin and condemn them of their sin, but offers no help in them carrying that weight. No help in dragging them out of that sin. The hypocrite just likes to look down on other people. But the hypocrite will never look in the mirror and find the log in their eye, as they're always looking for the speck in someone else's eye. So the hypocrite loves to preach but will not practice. They lay heavy burdens but they will not help carry. And then also, the hypocrite's desire is to be seen by others. This is where we pick up in verse 5. They want all their good deeds to be seen. They make their phylacteries broad. They want everybody to know, look, I've got God's word with me. I want to be noticed for that. I want to be seen for that. When it's the time of the feast, oh, hey, you come sit in this place of honor. That place in and of itself is not inherently bad. If you came into the house and the master of the house wants you to sit there, that's fine. But they came in wanting to sit there. Their desire was to be out in front of everyone else. Their desire was to be seen. They would go to the synagogue and they want the best seat. When they walked through the marketplace, they wanted everyone to call them rabbi, everyone to recognize them, to recognize who they were and how important they are. See, for the hypocrite, and we see Jesus talk about this a lot back in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7, when he talks about giving. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. He tells them to sound no trumpet when they give to the needy. Or to not pray like what the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners that they may be seen by others. When they fast, he said, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. What is their reward? Their reward is that little bit of recognition that they get from other people, and the hypocrites love that. They love to get a little bit of acclaim here on earth. Now think about how foreign that should be to the Christian mindset. It's really the mindset of someone who says there is no God to receive all of their praise here, because that's all there is, right? If you believe there's no God and you believe there's no eternity, then you need to receive your reward now. So that's why you want to receive all kinds of rewards and acclaim, because this is all there is. But Jesus tells his followers Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. He's told those who pray and give and fast in secret. He says, your Father's going to reward you. Your Father sees it. Don't receive your reward here because it will fade. It will go away. But if you receive your reward in heaven, it is one that will last. The hypocrite wants to be seen by others. Friends, there have been too many times I've seen in churches that I have been in where there are people who really do not care at all about what the Lord is doing, how the Lord is working. They want to receive something for themselves. And they will let you know about it. It's all about what they do and all about what they can get out of what they do. I sat with a man one time many years ago who was angry at the church because they had made a man in that church a deacon. It wasn't here, by the way, in case you are trying to figure that out. It wasn't here, by the way. I do not tell those stories about things that happen here. I do that when I preach other places. But I sat in his living room, and he was angry with me and the deacons of the church because we had made a guy a deacon, and he said, I know that I give more than he does to the church. Now, what I really wanted to tell him, and I didn't, because it was nice, is, sir, you can't be a deacon because you're lost. And only Christians in our church can be deacons. Lost people, we don't appoint lost deacons, at least not intentionally. It could happen, but we don't do it intentionally. But this man had such a desire to be a deacon in this little bitty church in the middle of absolutely nowhere because he wanted that place of recognition. He wanted others to recognize who he was. He wanted to be seen by others, and he believed that his financial gifts enabled him to then be in that place of recognition. Friends, that is hypocrisy. And it's hypocrisy that we need to be mindful of. When we are doing things for the Lord and for His church, are we doing them to be seen by others and recognized by others so that others will pat us on the back and say, wow, you did such a great job? Or are we doing the things that we do to the glory and honor of God? Because when we do it to His honor and His glory, we are storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. But when not, then we receive our reward here. And friends, it is an insignificant reward in comparison to what God has for us in heaven. The hypocrite loves to preach but will not practice, lays heavy burdens but will not help carry, and desires to be seen by others. This is hypocrisy. So what would it mean then for us to not be hypocrites? Jesus tells them, again, the first seven verses, hey, this is the problem going on. And in the last few verses there, he says, you're not like this. He says, you're not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you're all brothers. Call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. This is not beat up on Catholics Day, but you don't call me Father. You know, the Catholics do that to their priest, Father so-and-so. This is one of the reasons why. You have a heavenly Father. You don't need a spiritual Father who you refer to as Father in this way. It says you don't need to be called instructors, for you have one instructor who is the Christ. In other words, you're not going to be this religious authority. You're not going to be in a position of authority. So what should Christians do Well, the first thing we should do to avoid hypocrisy is shun human honor. We should shun human honor. That's what he says in this. Don't let somebody call you rabbi. Point them to Jesus. It's incredible in the church today how many people are worshiping their pastors and their leaders. I know I don't have that problem, but there are some places that do have that problem. They fall apart. I hope that if this afternoon I get hit by a bus, that you would have some type of grief. Maybe you would show up at my funeral. That would be appreciated. Not by me, but by my family, obviously. But the church goes on. Your spiritual life is not tied to another human person. It's the great danger of our celebrity culture when it comes to churches and pastors. People that are awestruck by their pastor. Friends, that's a sickness. And if that man was a good pastor, he would be shunning that, but some revel in it. They think themselves real celebrities. They think themselves of some great importance to the kingdom. But friends, no one person does the kingdom hinge upon. We think about the great spiritual leaders that we have had over the last 100 years. You know, men like Billy Graham. But the kingdom does not hinge on his life. The work of the kingdom did not end when his casket passed by here on the interstate on his way to Charlotte. If we want to avoid hypocrisy, we should shun human honor. When someone tries to give us honor for things spiritually, we should point them toward Jesus. When they try to say, what a good message that was, or what a good Bible study that was, or you've been such an encouragement to me by the way you're living or the way you're dealing with this hardship or with this grief, what do? We point them toward Jesus. We shun human honor. And then we also embrace service to others. Look what he says, the greatest among you, and he said this before in Matthew's gospel, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. We shun human honor and we embrace service to others. Friends, if you want to fight against hypocrisy, if you look at your life and truly examine your heart and say, you know what, I often deal with this sin. I often deal with hypocrisy. Friends, then we should imitate Christ. Who had more reason to be proud than Jesus? Who had more reason to have others give him honor and praise? Jesus, obviously. No one had more ability, no one had more reasoning for that than Jesus, because he is God. And yet he says very clearly that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So if we want to fight against the sin of hypocrisy that is often so rooted in our arrogance, friends, we do so by serving others, by humbling ourselves, knowing that when we do, we are exalted by God. It might not look that way in this life, but that is ultimately what God does. And so we humble ourselves. We call out to Christ to give us humility. That can be a painful prayer, but it is one that is so often needed. Friends, as we serve in Christ's church, we need to understand that hypocrisy will bring shame on the name of Christ. When people out there in the world, as messed up as they are, as sinful as they are, when they see us being hypocrites, it gives them an excuse. Now, friends, that excuse will not stand up on the day of judgment. Every person out there this morning who is saying, well, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. I don't go to that church because it's full of hypocrites. I don't go to any church because it's full of hypocrites. That excuse will not work when they stand before God. They can make it all they want, and God's not going to be like, oh, hey, I'm going to give you a patch. You're right. They're pretty messed up. So I'm going to give you a patch. No, that's not how it works. But it is an excuse that people will use. And when we humble ourselves and serve others, it takes that excuse away. When you hear that, friends, say it's absolutely true. We are. We are a church full of hypocrites. Our standard is Jesus. We preach that the standard is Jesus. We believe that the standard is Jesus, and we understand that we fail. But we should do all within our power to live holy and blameless lives before a watching world. We should desire for it to be difficult for others to examine our life and find hypocrisy. Can they do so? Sure. But we should make it exceptionally difficult. We want it to never be said of us that others would do well to listen to our words, but not to watch our works. I don't want to be a pastor that you would have to say that. You can come listen to our pastor. What he says is good, but don't watch his life. I would think if you had to say that, there would be a number of people in this room that would say something to me about my life. We should desire that this never has to be said of us. Shun human honor. Embrace a life of service. And in so doing, point others toward the glory of God without our hypocrisy standing in the way. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy and that you have loved us and given us hope. Heavenly Father, help our life to be firmly planted in you. Let our hearts not be the life, the heart, the soul of a hypocrite. But Heavenly Father, help us in the power of Christ to humble ourselves so that we can walk in an honorable way before you. And that those who are watching us, those who do not know you, those who are far away from you, can listen to our words but Heavenly Father can follow our works. Help the words of our mouth, the desires of our heart, the works of our hands be aligned to your purpose and your plan. God, we thank you that you have given us the grace of Christ that has saved us from empty, hollow works, that has saved us from hypocrisy, that has saved us from our pride. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we go through this life, that our lives would reflect your goodness and grace, that our mouth and our hands would point others toward you. Help us to follow you faithfully. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me as we sing this final song. As we do, would you respond? Maybe you need to pray. Pray that God would help your life reflect His goodness and grace. That it wouldn't be about what you can receive. It wouldn't be about honor from others, but it would be about serving Him. Friends, some of you this morning do not know Jesus. You've never followed Him. Today is the day to do so. Today is the day to turn from your sin, from doing it your way, and say, Heavenly Father, I want to follow you. It's what Jesus asked. He says, come follow me. The question is, will you follow him today? Would you respond to God's word as we sing this song together?